Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
The Broncos beat the Chiefs in Denver late October last year. That was the last time they met until today. 35-yard field goal loss. For Boney the snap, Riley the hold, Lutz the kick to win it. Oh! Blocked! The Chiefs have won! The Chiefs have won!
Flacco back to pass, pocket collapsing, and it's picked off! Taron Johnson at the 22, working his way back, cuts it all the way across the field, has Rasul Douglas blocking, touchdown Buffalo!
Cross one-timer scores! Rasmus Dahlin with the overtime winner! That is a delicious finish by the captain, and the Sabres take it 4-3.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Oh, that does not get your juices flowing on a Friday. Nothing will. Holy cow. The Chiefs blocking the field goal to go 9-0. The call from Kevin Harlan. Amazing. Now, granted, you're like, oh, come on, they blocked the field goal. Some of you like that. You wanted it. You were happy last week that the Chiefs blocked the field goal from the Broncos. They won to go 9-0 because that meant an undefeated Chiefs team coming to Orchard Park this week for the Bills to have a chance to be the first team to beat them. And then, of course, right after that, Chris Brown on the Buffalo Bills radio network, Taron Johnson with the pick six on the first play, first defensive play of the game for the Buffalo Bills last week at the Indianapolis Colts, helping to propel them eventually to a 30-20 win to go 8-2 on the season. And then last night, great response from the Sabres after that crap no-goal call. Come on, what are we doing? Officials already getting into form, making calls for teams from Missouri here in Western New York. Am I right? I kid, kind of. Great response from the Sabres, though, to come back, tie the game, and then win it ultimately in overtime. And that arena, you were there last night. Josh Schmidt producing here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. You were there last night. Was that arena jumping on that goal or what?
It was.
I could feel it.
There was just like, I haven't been to a game like this in a long time where it was like everyone was just united. The ref you suck chant was the longest and loudest I've ever heard. I mean, granted, I don't know how many times that's happened in like the last 13 years, so... You know, I mean, again, I'm younger and everything like that. I'm sure there's been louder ones. But in the times I've been there, I've been part of the ref you suck chant. But that was like, it just kept going and going and going. And I'm like...
That's my 10-year-old's favorite chant, by the way.
Yeah,
he just because he's 10, and he's like, that's really cool to say, to yell, ref you suck.
Yeah. No, it's great. And to be fair, they weren't great at all last night. There was missed penalties. There was that goal.
But the overtime goal. Tell me about like what the arena was like.
Oh, man, that... It was not necessarily like a roar before the horn, but everyone was just kind of like on the edge of your seat, like you're like half standing.
Yep.
And then the pass to Dahlin, I missed because everyone stood up. Like it was almost like everyone knew that he was about to score. And then so we're all standing up as he just roofs it, and it's just everyone's going crazy.
That's what they call bar down in hockey. I mean, he hit bar down.
It was back bar.
It was, right? It was back bar, right? Okay, so it has to be front bar to go to bar down?
Yeah, it usually bar down is
hit
the,
front
is
bar
the,
and then straight down?
Is the red bar down into the
okay.
Net.
While we were watching it last night, I had to show Max this morning. He plays hockey now, and that's a big thing with the kids. Bar down, bar down.
Bar down, yeah.
Right? And I'm like, hey, it was bar down. But you're right. I mean, it wasn't quite exactly that, but what a shot. So the Sabres win last night. Really nice win. We're going to talk with Paul Hamilton at 11 a.m. today. Get an update on Tage Thompson. We know Matias Samuelsson's going to be out a while. UPL, who didn't play last night as well. And a Sabres victory, which gets them right back in the mix in the wild card, right? I mean, like, look, there's a lot of season left, but it's nice to be there as opposed to, all right, well, we're already out of it by Thanksgiving, which is in a couple of weeks. So we'll do that at 11 a.m. today. Patrick Hammer joins me at 11:30 a.m. It's looking pretty good for Sunday as of now. We'll let Pat tell you all about the tailgating. Lots of tailgating is going to be going on because this is a 4:25 p.m. game between the Bills and the Chiefs on Sunday. And we'll take a look at your weather for next week leading into the bye week and the weekend. We'll do that. And I got to tell you what I'm doing next week. I'll tell you about that in a little while. Before we do all that, in just about a half hour from now, maybe a little bit more than that, Bills head coach Sean McDermott is going to join me here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And of course, Sean McDermott is always going to give us an injury update here, first and foremost, that is very important this week because of the players that have been either not participating or limited. Namely, Dalton Kincaid has not practiced for two straight days. Spencer Brown has not practiced for two straight days. And Amari Cooper, limited. He's been limited the last 2 weeks, has not played. But he did tell the media yesterday after practice he's feeling like he can play this week, and he might even do it with his cast on, apparently, the way that he made it sound yesterday. So we'll do that. That will be your Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. And, of course, we'll get a sense of this weekend's game from Sean McDermott. Big game on the schedule for the Buffalo Bills. On the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, we'll take your calls, 803-0550. We have open phone lines right now. I'd really love to get your thoughts on this game because, I mean, this is a really interesting game psychologically for Bills fans in a lot of different ways. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that, and I'd like you to call. 803-0550 is the number. We have open phone lines right now. But I'll tell you first that our Buffalo Football Friday, as always, is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. I have said all week that this kind of feels like almost a no-win type of situation for the Bills in some respects by a lot of fans, including their own fans. Because you have a segment of fans, this might be you out there listening, it might not be, but there are a lot of fans who, if the Bills were to lose this game, they'll jump right on the, see, they were never that good, you can't beat the good teams, Sean McDermott loses to Andy Reid again in a big game. That's going to happen. There are also fans, and a lot of these are the same fans, who, if the Bills win, will tell you, I don't care, do it when it matters in January, you've done this before, and then you still lose to that team when it comes time for the playoffs. To me, that's a no-win situation. Now, that's not the team, that's not the players, that's not the coaches. I think that's a perception from fans, national, local. Jeremy brought up a good point this morning, and I agree with this. If I'm generally the optimistic guy, right? That's a little bit of a pessimistic way to look at it, but I do think that that's how a lot of people are looking at it. Jeremy, on his show this morning, said it could be looked at as a no-lose type of situation for the Bills, which is also true, right? Because think about it. If the Bills win this game, yeah, you just beat Kansas City. You ruined their perfect season. Let's go, baby. Now you're a half game out of the one seed. Who knows what can happen? They have their kicker is down for a few weeks here. They could stub their toe. No pun intended because it's a kicker, but that could happen. And the Bills have a look at maybe the one seed. Who knows? But they're in a great position, and it feels really good. If you lose, okay. You have your bye week next week. You play San Francisco. You're still 8-3. Really good record. Season's not over. So What did it really truly matter, right? So that's why I want to get a sense from you. Like, how big is this game for you? What does it matter for you? Does it matter? Is this a game where, hey, you're just going to go have fun, whatever happens, happens, or are you really looking at this game? I guess that's the two ways, right? You could look at it, if I work it through my head, there's probably three ways to look at this. The first way would be, you know what? Whatever happens, happens. I'm cool with it. I'm cool with the result because it doesn't end the season for the Bills. But if they win, that's going to be awesome and I'll celebrate. And it really makes me feel better going into my bye week. The second way to look at it is, yeah, and it's just, it doesn't really matter. Like, yeah, they could win. It's not going to move the needle because you have to beat this team in January. They could lose. It's not going to move the needle because you have to beat this team in January. You could look at it that way. Or you could look at it the third way, which is, oh, no, this is a big game. Like, they need to win this. I'm going to feel way different if they win or lose. Right? So I just think that there's so many ways you could look at this game between these two different teams. And I think it's going to be a really good game, too. If I had to lean, I'd say maybe lower scoring, even though you have Patrick Mahomes and you have Josh Allen. I mean, if you look at these two teams and what they've done this year, really, more than anything, now the Bills are very highly ranked in scoring points. Let me get their official, you know, overall points scored per game. The Bills are third in the league in points scored. I mean, there are only two teams who scored over 30 a game, and the Bills are just below that at 29. It goes Baltimore, Detroit, Buffalo. The Bills are at 29. Third in the league in points scored, which is amazing, thinking about all the changes they had on offense and what we've thought about what they would be this year. The Chiefs, by the way, are, they're about what? Let's see, where would this be? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, just out of the top 10. They're 11th. 24.3, which is still good. But if you look at the defensive side, that's where both these teams come in very highly ranked in this game. The Chiefs are the number 5 defense in the league, allowing only 17.9 points per game. The Bills are number 9 in the league, allowing 19.3. Neither team is allowing more than 20 points per game. 20 might win it in this game, folks. 20 might win it. That's why those every play, every critical down and distance, every moment is going to be critical. It's going to matter in this game. I think the number one thing in this game is third downs for the Chiefs, especially. Like when the Chiefs are on offense, I should say, third downs. The Kansas City Chiefs are amazing on third down this year. 52%. It's really hard to be over 50% in the NFL for a long stretch of time. Here we are in week number 11. The Chiefs are at 52% still. Only one other team, the Bucs, actually are 50%. But it's very hard. And the reason why I say that, though, is this is why. It's not just, oh, yeah, well, it's third down and they're the Chiefs. The Bills have been very good on third down. They were over 50% a couple years ago. Here's why I say it. I want to give you a couple numbers that just really stand out to me that I looked up this week, all right? This is how critical third down is going to be. Believe it or not, the Kansas City Chiefs, total yards per play. Now, I know that there's a lot of stats you can massage and say different ways, and it's not the greatest way to look at things, but I just want to give you a good general overview. Total yards per play on the season, offensively, they're 19th. That's super average. It's below average. 19th. So on an average play, they gain 5.17 yards. It sounds like a lot. It's actually 19th in the league on an average play. So you would think that because of that, they're not sustaining drives. But they are. Because what they do is, they get in third down and they convert. And then because of that, they're actually number one in the league in A, number of plays per drive, which is 7 on average, and time per drive, 3.5 minutes essentially. What's happening with the Kansas City Chiefs is, they are not winning on first and second down, except for maybe putting themselves in decent situations, I guess. You're not like gaining 8 yards a play. But man, they're converting third downs and they're forcing you to stay on the field on defense, and then they get points at the end of the drives, even if it's just field goals. It just puts so much stress on you to make sure you don't let them stay on the field. The good news for the Bills is, their third down defense this year, well, it has been pretty good. Actually, no, you know what? Now, third down defense for the Bills has not been very good. Sorry. The tough news for the Bills, their third down defense this year is 21st in the league. 40% they're giving up. They have to be better than that. I was looking at red zone when I was saying good news, by the way. They're 8th in the league in red zone defense. The Bills are actually buckling down in the red zone, but teams are converting. This game's going to come down to very, very slim margins. On third down and in the red zone. And you need to get them off the field, and if you don't, you better make sure they don't score touchdowns. Now, that might also play into how the Chiefs play. This might be affected because the Chiefs are going to be without, apparently, Harrison Butker, their kicker, who's really, really good. And he's had these great big kicks against the Buffalo Bills. Yesterday, reports surfaced, and I haven't seen this morning if it's become official or anything by the Chiefs, but several national outlets, including Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter, so it's happening. Harrison Butker's going on injured reserve, their kicker. He's not going to play in this game. And this is like a surprise to them because on Wednesday, he was a full participant in practice. He wasn't even on their injury report. Now, he had been dealing with an injury, but they must have decided on Thursday to shut him down, or maybe something happened Thursday at practice. So now they're going to dip into the Jets practice squad to bring a new kicker on. And that could be really a swing of the game because, A, him kicking the ball, he could miss a kick, obviously, that Harrison Butker couldn't. But I'll tell you also how it could be. Maybe Andy Reid plays third downs and fourth downs differently because of that situation. I think it's fascinating. I'm all about this game. I'm all about the X's and O's, the matchup. How do the Bills try to stop those third downs? How do they match up against Travis Kelce? Look, the Bills are hurting right now. We know that Dalton Kincaid might not play. We'll get that from Sean McDermott in about a half hour, whether or not he's going to officially declare him out or he's going to leave the door open. We know that. We know Keon Coleman's not going to play already. Yes, they're hurting. You know where they're not really hurting as much? On defense, compared to what they've been maybe earlier this year. Their corners are healthy. Rasul Douglas was not healthy when they played the Chiefs last year in the playoffs. He was banged up. He was trying to play on one leg, essentially. We know their linebackers were not healthy when they played the Chiefs in the playoffs last year. Now, the Bills don't have Matt Milano right now. He's coming back at some point, but he's not playing. They do have Dorian Williams, who's having a really nice year. And they do obviously have Terrell Bernard, who did not play in that game last week. Obviously, they still have injuries up front to Dwayne Carter and Dewan Smoot. We know that. So from a standpoint of kind of guys who've been out, who were out last year, who are playing in this game, a little bit different. So I think that's where the Bills have to win this game, is to make sure they do not allow the Kansas City Chiefs to convert third downs. And then if they do, you have to make sure you force field goal attempts because you don't know what's going to happen with the kicker. 803-0550. It's fascinating. Got a lot to get to today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sean McDermott at 1045. Paul Hamilton at 11. Pat Hammer at 1130. I'm also going to tell you a little bit about next week. I'm going to be gone next week. Every year I take a vacation around the Bills bye week if it's conducive, and it is so conducive this year, and I'll let you know exactly why that is. Plus, I had I have a poll up. Here's the poll I have. If you go to, I retweeted it at Sal Sports. That's on Twitter. Yes, I'm on Blue Sky 2, which I want to talk about today. Yes, I'm going to go there. I'm going to talk about social media platforms today. Not going to get political, just going to talk about social media platforms and why. But if you go to my Twitter page, at Sal Sports, I have retweeted a poll from the Extra Point Show account, which, by the way, is at Extra Point WGR. Here's the poll. What's the best case results for the Bills? What are the best case results for the Bills in the other two huge AFC games this week? Ravens at Steelers, Bengals at Chargers. There is one particular result running away with it right now. But check it out. We already have over 500, close to 600 votes. I just put it up a little while ago. Get in on that poll. Vote Ravens-Bengals, Ravens-Chargers, or Steelers-Bengals, or Steelers-Chargers. Give it a vote in the poll. We're over 600 votes in right now. 803-0550 is the number to call. Oh, yeah. And we will talk about those games. We'll jump around the league. And how about last night? Got a story for you last night. If you went to the game, you saw some Chiefs fans there probably. I think you did. I got a story about that in a little while. Let's start it off right now, though, with Brian in Charlotte. Hi, Brian. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday.
Hey, Sal. I'm cautiously optimistic about this weekend's game. I really hope that Cooper can go. I think if we don't have Coleman and Kincaid and Cooper, we might be in trouble. But I want to take a step back and talk to you a little bit about the Broncos-Chiefs blocked field goal.
Okay.
The Chiefs had gotten down to the 18-yard line. It was only a 35-yard field goal. Would you agree that these kickers have their legs are as strong as ever in the history of the league? Would you agree with that?
Sure, absolutely. We've seen that.
Would you agree that the long snappers are as accurate as they've ever been?
Well, I mean, I guess. I don't know. I haven't gone back and analyzed that part of it, but go ahead.
So why are we only doing a kick 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage?
It's eight.
So why are we only doing a kick 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage?
I don't know. It's a good question. You're saying back them up to maybe 10 because they can make that. And I guess the answer would be because you have to, you're going to rep those all the time at the same yardage, right? You're not going to go from 8 to 10 at practice. You could, but you're not, so that when you get in those situations, those longer field goals, those 1 or 2 yards would matter. I guess that would be the answer, Brian. I understand your point, though.
I mean, for every 3 feet farther back you go, for every yard farther back you go, you gained 2 feet of height. Mm-hmm. So if they went back to a 10-yard step, that kick would have been 4 feet higher in the air. You would never have a blocked field goal if you always kicked from 10 yards.
Well, that's not necessarily, I will tell you, did you, I get your point. By the way, you're talking way over my head with some math here, by the way, Brian. Listen, did you see, you need to see this, Brian, go search out Bill Belichick breaking down that blocked field goal. It's fascinating. He actually said, if the ball was in the middle of the field, it would not have been blocked. But because the trajectory had to push it a tiny bit left, that's why, and the Chiefs knew that, and that's why they overloaded that side.
To me, it just seems ridiculous that we're still doing the same thing we've always done with this 8 yard, 7, 8 yard snap. Mm-hmm. These guys have a huge leg. Snap it back 2 yards farther. Kick it over everyone's head. You'd never have a blocked field goal ever again. Why we need to start thinking outside the box.
I'll ask Reed Ferguson or Tyler Bass or guys like that when I have a chance in the next couple weeks. Okay, buddy?
Please do. Thanks so much. Go Bills.
Yeah, you got it, Brian. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Let's go to Allie in Denver. What's up, Allie?
Hey there. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was just talking about the game this week, and the first time in I don't know how many years, I feel like either way this game goes is going to be a win for us. Because on the one hand, I will say, living in Denver, I am in very much Broncos country, and they hate the Chiefs about as much as we do in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And, all of my high school kids, I'm a high school teacher, they're all rooting for the Bills. Everyone in town is very much like, go Bills this week. And so, on the one hand, we have the opportunity to, ruin their perfect season. And then on the other hand, if we lose, obviously it's going to suck, but we, get another – we're going to win our division. So it's great. And I think for the first time, it's I'm going to just enjoy the heck out of this game because the stakes just don't feel they're high, but they're not
you're more in the no lose situation, right? Hey, I'm just going to enjoy it. If they lose, that's okay. It does not ruin anything. The season's still on the table. And if they win, I'm going to thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah. Yep. And that's very novel for the last handful of years. Cause before I felt we have to beat them. And now it's kind of well, win or lose, it's going to be, it's going to be okay. And there is something, I watched Deion's press conference yesterday, and he was saying, the Bills are America's team. And, I do feel like everyone's pulling for us. And that's, a nice, a nice feeling. So I hope the boys feel that on Sunday. And I will be hooting and hollering at the Bills bar out here in Denver.
You got it, Allie. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Really appreciate it. And look, I agree that most of the country will be rooting for the Bills to beat the Chiefs. And unless you have a lot of people out there who want to see history and the Chiefs go undefeated, for sure. How about Dolphins fans? They are certainly rooting for the Bills to ruin the Chiefs' perfect season. I think even Patriots fans would, because even though they didn't complete it in the Super Bowl, they had an undefeated regular season. So only two teams have done that. The Dolphins completed the journey, won a Super Bowl in 1972. They went undefeated all throughout. So you know that they are hoping that the Bills win. CBS is bringing their entire studio crew here to Buffalo outside Highmark Stadium, right outside the Bills store, by the way, if you're heading down. Mike in Connecticut. What's going on, Mike?
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Good. I haven't called in a while. Usually I'm a teacher, so I have usually come on ready with stuff to talk about, but I'm home today, so I just wanted to bring up a few things. First things first, I think you bring up a really good point about Rasul Douglas, who was hurt in that Kansas City Chiefs game in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing I want to bring up is, we were without Christian Benford and Terrell Bernard, who arguably have been our two most important players on defense this year, arguably. But I think that's a massive win for the Bills. And, I have to listen to a lot of these shows on Rewind, which is totally fine. But I've heard the conversation all week of, does this game matter? Does this game not matter? And I'll put it to you this way. This is my take on it. Every game matters. This game, from a psychological standpoint, and I think this game from a seeding standpoint, means a lot. Of course, if you beat the Chiefs and you lose to them in the postseason, of course, it doesn't matter. But I'm a lot of, like you said, I think you had a tweet the other day, nationally, local, not locally as much, but nationally, a lot of people were saying the Bills were going to take a step back.
Yep.
And my take is the Bills, best start they've had in 31 years, believe 30 some years.
31.
And knock on wood, I don't believe, I'm not big into jinx, but the Bills, they're banged up right now, but nothing is like the massive gut punch where we've had every year. Trey White, Von Miller, Matt Milano. Like, I think this team is going to be its best in January, and I do think I was ecstatic when I saw the bye was week 12 this year when the schedule came out in May, because I think Buffalo's due for having a healthy team in the postseason. So I'll hang up and just
Yeah, well, I just want to thank you, Mike. I forgot Benford missed that game, too. You're right. I mean, crazy, right? Yeah.
I was at that game, and I literally was checking my phone. The game was a 6:30 game, so 5 o'clock, I'm fresh in Twitter, and then, you know, you see Bernard come in, and he doesn't come in with the tablet. I remember someone posted that, and Benford doesn't play. And, you know, I think Benford has been, you know, you could say he's arguably our most impactful player from that draft. I think that draft was phenomenal, but he's in line for a big extension when the time is ready.
Right, right. And I'll say this too, Mike, and I appreciate the call. I will let you go. Thanks for all you do, buddy. I appreciate it. Yeah, and look, I'm going to say this. Here's why. That's a great example. What Mike just brought up Benford too. I brought up Terrell Bernard. And Bale Inspector, by the way. Do you realize all three of those guys got hurt the week before against the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoff game? Bernard got hurt. Spector got hurt. I think Spector was hurt in that game, too, trying to recover a fumble. And that's why it's important to get that one seed if you can. If the Bills didn't have to play that game, those guys wouldn't get hurt, right? I mean, that's really what it is. It's not about home. Yeah, you want to be at home. The reason why the one seed is important is because you don't have to play that previous week, and you might not get hurt the way the Bills did last year. And they did. They'll have those guys available for the game against the Kansas City Chiefs. Sunday, 4:25 p.m. We're going to start things off at 9 a.m. We got a full day for you planned. We got a full show for you planned here. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing during the bye week as well. It's going to be very cool. And last night, you might have seen some Chiefs fans sitting on the glass at the Sabres game. I got a story I'll share about that here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday.
Plays it behind the net. Here's Alex Tuck. Scores! Alex Tuck got to a great spot. And he's tied the game at 3. With 7:03 to go in the third period.
Dan Dunleavy on the call right there. Look, Alex Tuck, great to get that goal. That play was so pretty by Ryan McLeod. And I got to tell you, I think that trade is really working out so far for Kevin Adams. I mean, yeah, maybe Matt Savoy becomes a really good goal scorer in the NHL, but he's not even playing right now for the Edmonton Oilers. He's still in the minors. He couldn't make their roster. The Sabres needed a guy like Ryan McLeod who brings energy, brings juice. He had to step up on the top line last night. He's obviously fast. We know that. And he's contributing points-wise, and that's what you need. So he plays in all situations. It's really good to see that as well. Sabres, they are back in action. Let me get you the exact... they go to Philadelphia. Then they go out west. Flyers, by the way. Flyers have... look pretty good lately, although the Sabres are in that kind of deal with the Flyers right now where, you know, one of these teams that you kind of have to stay with and beat. They play them tomorrow night at 7 p.m. We'll have the game for you right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. All right, so last night, you may have seen some Chiefs fans and Chiefs jerseys on the glass. Let me tell you the story. Now, this isn't every one of them. I do always game day in Buffalo with Matt Bove. It's an Odyssey podcast here. You know that. We put it out there. This week, I was asked to go on the Chiefs version, which is called The Fastest 40. Right? That's their version of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. It's an Odyssey podcast. And I'm on there with them, and Dan Portillo's on there, and there's another host named Trey who's on there. And it was a really good conversation. We went like 35 minutes. By the way, you can find it in the Always Game Day in Buffalo feed. So we kind of crossed over and did that. It was a really good talk with these guys. It was awesome. And at the end, they tell me, yeah, there's a bunch of them who every year they go to a Chiefs road game, and this year the Bills, this game is the game they're going to. I'm like, oh, wow, that's really cool. You're coming to Buffalo, enjoy it, you know, lots of tailgating, all that. And then Trey tells me, I think it was Trey, might have been Dan, but I think it was Trey who said to me, yeah, we're flying up on Thursday. I recorded Wednesday with them, so they said we're flying up on Thursday. And then we're going to go right to the Sabres Arena and buy tickets right on the glass as close as we can get and wear our Chiefs jerseys to the game. So if you saw those guys last night, if you saw people there last night, chances are they were the podcasters from The Fastest 40. And those are the guys I was on with. Now, Josh, you were at the game. You said they weren't all together necessarily. Maybe there's some around different parts of the arena.
Yeah, I was walking around the concourse, and I saw two or three people in Chiefs gear. And then in my seats, like a few rows in front of me, there was a couple guys with Chiefs gears on or Chief gear on. I didn't see anyone on the glass, though. That was the only thing I didn't notice, but there was way more than I expected. I mean, it kind of makes sense because...
Maybe they couldn't find a spot there, but yeah.
True, but it does make sense because the Blues are close to
yes,
the Chiefs,
it's a Missouri team. They don't have... Kansas City doesn't have a... They used to have the Kansas City Scouts, by the way.
Yeah.
But they don't have an NHL team. It would make sense. And I said, or you guys, Blues fans, are like, well, kind of, like, that's the team you root for if you're in Kansas City, pretty much.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I think there's been videos of, like, Patrick Mahomes at Blues games
yeah, sure.
and stuff. But it's just, I don't know, it just kind of threw me for a loop. Like, I was like, whoa. Like,
well,
wrong game.
they showed up, they went, and they left with a loss. So there you go. That's the fastest 45. By the way, find that podcast. We talked about the Bills and the Chiefs and, you know, previewed the game. It was really good stuff. So that's who you might have seen last night at the game. And I'm just so glad they left after experiencing that loss and blowing the game, basically. Anthony in Buffalo, what's going on? You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Yeah, hi, Sal. Appreciate you having me on. Hope you're having a good day.
Yes, sir.
First of all, just a quick note. I can't imagine how losing on Sunday to the Chiefs would bring any kind of positivity or benefit. I feel like any mental edge you can have later in the season would be beneficial. But two questions for you. First one is, I've always wondered, why does Sean McDermott, maybe other NFL coaches, let everyone, the media, other teams know that players are out so far in advance of the game? So very typically, right, Sean McDermott does that on Fridays, lists a couple players that are out. If there's even a slight chance that they can play, why give out that information and let the other team and coaches game plan for that?
Well, a couple different things. Number one, if you know for sure they're not playing, you're supposed to, you don't have to do it on Monday. That's no doubt. You can wait until later in the week to do it. So he doesn't have to do it. There's no doubt. But I believe that part of it would be, there's just a distraction of it all week being asked about it. If you just declare him out, say he's not playing, then you know that's the case. Nobody's expecting it. You just go into practice and everybody understands what's happening. The media understands what's happening. I think that last week might have become a little bit more of a circus with that. That's my interpretation of the way that might have happened. The other thing is, I think a little bit is overrated as far as, you know, we're not talking about, no disrespect to Keon Coleman. We're not talking about Justin Jefferson here, right? Like, the Chiefs aren't necessarily going to formulate their game plan around Keon Coleman. He's a good player. He's up and coming, but they're going to play the Bills either way. They're going to play their system. So I don't think he finds necessarily that he would or anybody else would that that's necessarily going to be the case. You do find teams do that with a quarterback or whatever. But I'm sure there's some reasons. Remember a few weeks ago when Terrell Bernard came back and when Taron Johnson came back, he said they're not playing. He did the same thing. The same thing with Matt Milano this week. Hey, he's coming back, but he's not playing, right? So I think there's a little bit of, we just want to focus on what we know is happening and leave these distractions aside.
No, I understand that. I was just thinking of the gamesmanship part of it.
For sure.
The other question I have is when you were talking about offensive ranks in terms of scoring. So Taron Johnson's pick six, does that get eliminated from like the total points for an offense, or does it matter?
No.
Does it not matter? Points are points.
The points are points, so it's pretty much a wash. If you give up a pick six, it goes against you. If you score a pick six, it goes for you. And at the end, you just look and say points for and points against, and the league counts everything the same. It's not offensive or defensive. It's just total points.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right, buddy.
That's all I got for you today, Sal.
You got it. Glad I could answer your questions. We'll take a timeout now because Sean McDermott's going to join us at approximately 10:45. So we'll take that break right here, and then we will come right back. We'll have the Bills head coach, injuries, and a look ahead to the Bills and the Chiefs on Sunday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, before we get to Sean McDermott, who will phone in at some point soon here, let's get to Rick in Boston. Hi, Rick. Go ahead. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hello, Sal. First of all, I'd like to say I just love your positive attitude and energy. It's so much fun to listen to you.
Ah, thanks. I try to bring it, buddy.
You got it. Well, I live here in Boston, but there's no bigger Bills fan. And to answer the question the gentleman before asked about why are they 8 yards, not 10 yards, not seven, it has to do with geometry. When they were kicking from 7 yards, from the line of scrimmage, they weren't booting the ball 50 yards, 60 yards. So they were able to get enough height on it to get over the jumper, the guys jumping on defense. But when the field goals got longer, they had to lower the trajectory. So to get to that same height, they had to move the ball back. Now, why not 10 yards? Well, if you go back 10 yards, the gentlemen at each end of the defensive line have a fantastic angle to come and block the kick. And so
they also have to go. They also have to travel further, though.
I'm sorry, the ball has to travel further.
I mean, I said they would have to travel further, though. The two guys at the edge rushers.
They're so free. The problem is that they have to make a curve.
Yeah,
they can't go full speed right now because if you watch them, they have to take a curved angle.
Yep, that's right. They have to bend. You got to have benders in long guys sometimes. You know, to lay out like that. Yeah.
If they're 10 yards out, it's more as short as distance as a straight line.
Yeah, I think the caller is thinking about blocking from, you know, the interior part of the line. But your point is there's also the edge rushers you have to think about blocking it.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that. Rick, see, first of all, thank you for the kind words. And you see, this is why we love the Extra Point Show here, and I love bringing it, because you never know when we're going to get a geometry lesson on a Buffalo Football Friday.
Well, you know, I'm a retired geometry teacher besides a
I love this.
Besides a retired football coach, and as a matter of fact, I grew up in Buffalo, and I have some great lineage. My father is a legendary coach from Ken Maurice.
Yes! Good for you, man. I love it. I love it. All right. Thank you, Rick. I appreciate you bringing it to us today.
Thank you very much, man. God bless you, buddy. Go Bills.
All right. You got it. I love that. How about that? Extra Point Show, WGR Sports Radio 550 on a Buffalo Football Friday, far-reaching across the globe into Massachusetts and Patriots territory, Bills fans who are geometry teachers calling up to explain field goals 8 to 10 yards. Yes, when I was growing up, Josh, the line was 7 yards back. It was always 7. At some point, it became 8. And you're like, and I don't even know when that happened. And I remember thinking, like, what, it used to be 7. Every time you'd think about a field goal, you'd be like, add 17. Now it's add 18. That's been like that for years now.
I never even knew there was like a time when it wasn't where it's at right now. Like, I guess I've never really thought about that.
I mean, it's like the conversation about the push-out. The push-out catch used to be a catch, right? And I had this conversation even this week with some people in the locker room again, Bills players. Talked about it a few weeks ago when we were talking about the George Pickens and 2 feet, and it kind of evolved into that. And I think I told you, Taron Johnson could not believe when I told him there used to be a rule where if a guy caught the ball in bounds in the air, but he got pushed out of bounds, they would still give it to him. He's like, what? He thought I was joking. Like, no. He's like, that is ridiculous. I said, I know, right? It's amazing.
I mean, it's a crazy rule. Like,
yes.
Like, just the fact that was even thought of as like an idea is just bonkers.
It's one of the ones that actually went the defense's way. Hey, you can follow me on social media at Sell Sports, any handle. That's Twitter/X. That's YouTube. By the way, thank you so much. Over 10,000 subscribers to the YouTube channel, and it's growing every day because we have Always Game Day in Buffalo. I have my own Sales House podcast. I got a lot going on over there, but always new content here for you. Check it out at Sales Sports on YouTube, Sales Sports Facebook page. And I tell you this because there's this new thing called Blue Sky, right? Now, I'm not getting into the politics of it because that's not what I do. I just want to give you this message about it, all right? I am not Sal Politics on Twitter. I am Sal Sports for a reason. I try to stick to sports. And sure, talk about my life sometimes or something else going on in the world or food, something cool or positive or whatever. You know, promote some things, use it for good, use it for charitable causes, things like that. It's not politics. There's this new movement that a lot of people are leaving Twitter and going to a place called Blue Sky. And I understand that a lot of people are doing it for their political reasons or whatever. I don't care what your reason is. That's great. That's up to you. You have that choice. It does not matter to me why you are on any social media platform. What matters to me is where you are, though. So I have created a Blue Sky account. I am at Sal Sports on Blue Sky. I have no idea if I'll post there. I probably will because a lot of people are going there. I'm not leaving Twitter. I'm going to stay there too. I'm also on Instagram. I don't love posting on Instagram. I do it because it's, you know, I get pictures, I want to show something, but mostly to put content out there. I don't love posting stuff on Facebook. It's because I have to. I mean, I like it, I guess, in some regard because it keeps me interacting. What I mean is I hate the idea all the time of recreating a post 10 different times. Now, there are websites, and I was on one recently and was a part of one, where you can literally all-encompass it and like put a post out and it goes everywhere, right? You could do that. The point I'm making here is, hey, if that's where you're migrating, then I'll probably be there because eventually I hate having to rebuild a following. I've built a nice following and I appreciate it so much. I have 188,000 Twitter followers. It's amazing. And I'm so grateful and thankful for all of that. To go to another platform and to rebuild and to have to gain that following, it means something to me. It does to have that many people. Of course it does. It's prideful, right? But at the same time, if that's where you want and you're having your content, I don't care why you're going. I just know that if that's where you're going, then I need to be there in some respect. I mean, I haven't done the TikTok thing. I keep resisting that. I haven't done the Snapchat thing. I never did the MySpace thing. You don't know MySpace, do you? Do you know what MySpace was?
Come on.
You do?
Yeah, I know what MySpace was. I never had one. I was too little.
Oh, okay.
I knew what MySpace was.
I didn't do that.
I'm not that young. Wow. At least I understand the concept of MySpace.
Are you on Blue Sky yet?
Yes, I am. I just made an account yesterday, actually.
Okay.
I like it a lot because it looks like old Twitter.
And it does.
That's the one thing I really wanted to see was just the feeling of old Twitter.
Right. I'm not making a Blue Sky account because I don't like Twitter. There are things about Twitter I don't like. But I also love Twitter for a lot of reasons. I'm making it because people are telling me that's where they are now. That's why. So go there and follow me. And at some point, I'm going to post over there. And I'll put content out. I have no idea what the first post should say. Like, hello? I don't know. In the Adele voice? Wait, we could do that. Didn't she sing that song?
You could tweet the GIF. She's probably got, like, there's probably a GIF of her saying hello, like, from the music video. I don't know.
I know, right? Yeah, so anyway, I am on Blue Sky. It has nothing to do with any reason why. I posted the other day, hey, I'm going over to Blue Sky. I have an account at Blue Sky. People, of course, I'm getting strays from everybody on both sides, right? That's what's happening. Oh, you're leaving. Might as well move to Canada. Look, I don't care. I don't care why you go. If you're leaving Twitter, whatever. That's up to you. I'm not. I'm just.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
On all these social platforms because that's where you are.
It was funny because I hadn't made like a new social media account in so long that I like all the profile pictures I use, I had to like sift through my photos to find it and everything. And it's like, it's just one of those things where you make it once and then you just never have to do it again. And it, I don't know, it was a weird feeling having to remake a social media account.
So that's what bothers me. It's like, dude, now I got to copy and paste another one. I got to put this over there. It's like, how many can I handle here? The one thing is true though. I did. I'm like, wait a minute. If everybody's going there, I better go there and at least squat on Sal Sports, right? Like, I had to come up with that name. So I did, to make sure. Well, so that's why I'm there. And that's what I'm doing. Okay? 803-0550. I don't care about your politics. I don't need to read it. I don't want you to... I just want you to be understanding of what I'm doing and where I am. And I'm trying to be understanding of you. That's where you are. That's where I'm going to be. Unless it's, I guess, TikTok right now, because I'm not on that. And I should. I guess I should do TikTok. I got to learn another platform now. All these things, like, I don't know.
TikTok it's...
No? People send me things.
It's hard to get into it.
I'll get a message from a friend, and it'll be like a TikTok video. Oh, check this out. I'm like, I can't open it. I don't have an account.
Yeah, I have.
You're gonna have to like screen grab it or something.
Some of the videos you can actually just like save them,
okay,
and then send them in a video form. But then that's like it's in your camera roll and it's just
right. All right, so I'm being told Sean McDermott is a bit delayed. They're in a production meeting, so let's do this. Let's take our time out right here, okay? And we'll get the Bills head coach shortly after the top of the hour. We also have Paul Hamilton. I hope that Paul can understand. We might have to wait on him, have him on after Sean McDermott. In the meantime, Hey, thanks for that. I appreciate it. Go follow me everywhere at Sal Sports. In the meantime, follow me after this break right here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550 on a Buffalo Football Friday. Sean McDermott coming up shortly after the top of the next hour.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college. It's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
No, he did not swap out Paul Hamilton for Sean McDermott. Our Buffalo Sabres beat reporter is not going to be on the sidelines calling plays for the Buffalo Bills this Sunday. But until Sean McDermott calls the show here, which he will at some point here soon because he's in a production meeting right now. It's a big game, CBS in town. We're going to get with our Paul Hamilton. And Paul, I hope you don't mind. If Sean calls here shortly, we'll just tape away from you and then we'll come back to you. I hope that's okay with you.
Yeah, I think the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, I can handle that if he preempts me.
All right, well, I appreciate that, Paul. Paul, of course, is brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Well, Paul, I mean, last night, a fun third period, not so much a second period. What was the difference? Because this team was night and day from period two to period three.
Yeah, they were. They played a good first period. And did what Lindy Ruff asked. You know, they got a lot of shots. He didn't like the two games before where they had 37 shots combined, 19 and 18. So, you know, he asked them to get more quality shots. What he talked about is reward the guys that are going to the net. You know, they're going to the net, reward them. And, they did that. They got more shots in the first period and some quality ones in the third. I've seen them play worse periods in the second period, but it certainly wasn't good, and they lost their lead. They had gotten behind, and then you get the goal taken off the board for goaltender interference in the third period, and you're wondering, is that going to be it? You know, is that going to be the one that takes it away from you? But they recovered, tied the game, won it in overtime, and, you know, did something that they hadn't done all year that Lindy Ruff had talked to them about all week, and that's cut the losing at one game. They hadn't done that all year. It's been two games, three games. They never just lost one, then came right back and won the next one. And they did that, and that's something that he really was stressing to them, that good teams, they lose, but when they lose, they come back and they win. And that's what he was stressing to them.
Paul, any updates on Tage Thompson or UPL? Neither of them played last night.
Well, I can tell you Thompson was limping just a little bit through the press box yesterday. Samuelson had a brace on his left knee. Luukkonen did go on the ice for the morning skate yesterday early. He went in, took shots for about 10 minutes or so, and then talked to the trainers over at the bench. Lindy Ruff said it was a good day for him, and if he doesn't start in goal on Saturday, he probably definitely will on Wednesday in Los Angeles. So he's very close. He said Thompson is doing well, but is still day-to-day. We'll find out. Maybe we'll find out more today in practice if he'll be able to go tomorrow in Philadelphia.
And then James Reimer obviously reclaimed on waivers. I mean, it was the perfect scenario to have him back as the backup goaltender.
Well, I think everybody knew, including Kevin Adams, that they probably would get him back.
Mm-hmm.
John Gibson of the Ducks had appendix surgery. And that's why they claimed Reimer. So he went there, only played a couple of games, but Gibson is back. So you would assume with Gibson back, they would try to waive Reimer. They did. And Buffalo reclaimed him. So because they're in a goaltending bind a little bit. You've got, let's say, Luukkonen banged up. You've got Sandstrom and Rochester dealing with a concussion. So you got Michael Hauser playing in Rochester. So they needed the depth and goal, and they were able to reclaim Reimer. And talking to him, he really enjoyed his time in Buffalo, short time. He said, these guys are great. I really like being around these guys, this team and everything. And I asked him if he knew the possibility was there that the Sabres might waive him when the roster limits came. He goes, yeah, I knew that. He goes, I knew it was possible. But he seemed happy to be back.
What is the mechanics now? If the Sabres obviously could carry three goalies, I would imagine they don't want to do that. Does he have to be waived again to go back to Rochester?
No. He can go back. He doesn't have to do waivers again until if he's on the roster for 30 straight days in Buffalo.
Okay.
Then they would have to waive him again. So they're okay. The Ducks can't block it by claiming him. Because the Sabres were the only team that put in a claim for him.
So you're saying they have to carry him for 30 days, then they can send him to Rochester?
They can. What I'm saying is they would have to waive him again.
Right.
They don't have to carry him. Now they can send him to Rochester without waiving him.
Okay, right now they can, but after 30 days they would have to waive him.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. It's a 30-day limit, and then you have to do waivers again.
Okay, got you.
Right now he can go down. The Ducks can't reclaim him because he's not going back on waivers, and the Sabres were the only team. Had two teams claimed, then they could play the game with the Ducks. The Ducks could reclaim him, and then the Sabres could reclaim him and play all those fun games.
How did you feel that Devin Levi played last night?
All right, not great. Mm-hmm. That second goal he's got to have. He had a good look at it, but he's not playing. That's the thing. I hate to really get on him too hard, because Lukanen played 9 to 10 games, and I thought, well, at least Levi got in for a period against Montreal, so it's kind of like back to back games. He only faced 4 shots, but he got in for a period. And, he made some pretty good saves at times, but it's still, he doesn't look, like himself. Now I wonder, you've got some back-to-backs coming up in California where you could play him at the end of it, the Friday, Saturday, and then the next Friday and Saturday. You got a home game against Vancouver on Friday and a road game against the Islanders on Saturday. So there are two opportunities for him to play in the NHL if you'd like. But I don't know. I'd almost, if you really want him to play in San Jose, I'd almost send him to Rochester right now, and when Lukanen's ready, is right now, and let him play maybe 3 games in Rochester, and then he could fly out to San Jose on his own, and he could put him in for that game if you'd like, and he'd have 3 games under his belt. He just doesn't look sharp right now because of inactivity.
Paul, last night, one of the coolest, things to see was how the Sabres played that last 58 seconds of regulation. A delayed penalty, no goalie, just playing with the puck. Super smart on their part. I don't know if you saw the ESPN Plus broadcast. I was watching that, and they were even saying, boy, if you're the Blues, you got to attack this puck. You have to force the issue so that the Sabres have to use the power play. And as it turned out, they scored with little time left on the power play. That was a big deal.
Yeah. I totally get what, they're right. A 4-on-3, you would rather have 2 minutes of 4-on-3. And they knew right away. That's what I liked about Lindy Ruff. He had communicated to the players what he wanted. They went into kind of a 4 corners.
Yeah.
So he had communicated what he wanted there. The only question I had is you could have had a 2-minute and 58-second power play. Mike Heim texted me, and he's one of the minor officials, and said the delayed penalty went up with 58 seconds left in regulation. So if you take those 58 seconds as a 6-on-5, you've pulled your goaltender, so you've got a power play of 6-on-5. You can run 58 seconds of that, and then 2 minutes of power play in overtime. Now, if St. Louis touches the puck, you're not going to get the full 58 seconds. But theoretically, you could have had 2 minutes and 58 seconds of power play time. But I get that you want a 4-on-3. There are less people up on the ice. There's less congestion. And so that's the way they wanted to do it. I'm just kind of throwing both sides of it.
I get it. But I would also say, if you do that and you score before regulation is out, St. Louis can still score.
Yeah, so they could score to tie.
Right.
Yeah.
So you take it to the end, because if they touch it, they can't score, and then you just have that. But no doubt, and it almost was a kill for St. Louis, and they almost did it. But it was a good job by the Sabres, no doubt about that.
Yeah, no, I totally get what they were doing, and I'm not criticizing it at all. I'm just kind of offering the other side.
Let me ask you this. Do teams, and maybe you know this from Lindy, maybe you've asked this to him. I know that from a fan perspective, you're like, okay, Western Conference team, doesn't matter. Go to overtime and be aggressive. Do they play differently in overtime, if it's a Western Conference team versus an Eastern Conference team, do you think, in general?
They shouldn't. They haven't been in all that many overtimes with Lindy. They shouldn't. You go for the extra point, and that's the thing that really killed them last year. If you remember, they were one of the worst teams in the National Hockey League at getting loser points. So it didn't put them into the playoff conversation because they were so far behind in loser points. So even no matter who you're playing, get your point. Get it to overtime. Get your point. And then let's find out if you can, get the extra point in the overtime session. Now, you know, the last couple, you did it against Calgary and you did it against St. Louis, where they couldn't care less if they get a point. Fine, take your point and go home. We just want to get the second point in overtime, and they did in both cases, winning in a shootout and winning in overtime. So I don't think they play drastically different. They tend to want puck possession and go for it in overtime. I don't really see them sitting back or, like, just taking the puck and making, you know, taking it easy. There were a couple times in the Calgary overtime where Tage Thompson, I thought, rushed a couple of shots from bad angles, which, yeah, I know it's a possibility you can go in, but when you want possession, you're basically giving up possession by doing that because the goaltender makes a fairly easy save, gives it to his defenseman, and now they have possession. And it worked out. I mean, they wound up winning in the shootout. But I just thought to myself, that's the difference. You don't want to take a shot from anywhere because you are giving up possession of the puck if it's an easy save for the goaltender.
8-8-1 now for the Buffalo Sabres. They do head out west. First, it's a game at Philadelphia against the Flyers, an Eastern Conference team they're battling with in the standings right now. And then it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 straight Western Conference teams, including out west at the Kings, at the Ducks, at the Sharks. They come back. They have the Wild and the Canucks, Western Conference teams at home. By the way, Paul, I will be at the San Jose Sharks game in California next Saturday night.
Really?
Yes. So here's the deal. I was teasing it earlier. So every year during the Bills bye week, I look at the schedule, and that's kind of my time to take off. I can't really take off because I'm covering the Bills and calling the games, obviously. So when the Bills have a bye, take a look at the schedule and say, okay, where does that fall? What can we do for a vacation? My wife, Yana, my son, Max. And this year I happen to see the week the Bills are off, the Sabres are in San Jose taking on the Sharks. So we are flying out to San Francisco next Thursday, going to Alcatraz on Friday, San Jose against the Sharks and Sabres on Saturday, and then do a Napa on Sunday.
Very cool. Yeah, too bad the Giants weren't playing. You could have done the hockey game in one day and gone and seen the Giants on another day. But we almost went to the World Series. We were in San Jose, and the Giants were hosting a World Series game, and we had access to tickets. But I just had work to do, you know. WGR doesn't pay me to go to the World Series and sit here. They actually do pay me to go to practice and write an article and report on practice as much as I wanted to go to the World Series. I just had stuff to do. But, so I missed out on a chance to go to the World Series in San Francisco.
You've been to games there. By the way, what's crazy is, so that night, it's a 5 p.m. Pacific game next Saturday in San Jose. And that night, they're honoring Joe Thornton, retiring his number, actually, against the Sabres.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's pretty cool. So, I like those types of things. And San Jose used to be such a great arena as far as fans go when they were good.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been there really since they have played poorly, so I'm not sure exactly what the fan what kind of fan support you're going to run into there. Although they're playing better, I will say that this year. There used to be a zoo in there. They had consecutive sellouts for a long time, and it was a cool place to watch a game.
And I'm looking at the Warriors. We were looking at them too, but they're going to be gone. They're away, so they won't be at home. Have you ever been to Alcatraz?
I have not.
Oh, man. I went a few years ago. The Bills played the Raiders. Doug Marrone would go out west a day early when they played West Coast teams. Sean McDermott doesn't do that. Rex didn't do that. The Bills played the Raiders, so I had kind of an extra day. We flew out on a Friday. Myself and an employee of the Bills at the time said, hey, let's do Alcatraz. So we go, and I didn't realize you had to buy tickets online, but luckily we get in line, and the woman says, no, we hold walk-up tickets, so you're all good. Get on the ferry. You take a ferry over there. Paul, amazing. It was incredible. I recommend it to anybody. Now, there's two different types. There's a day tour and a night tour. We did the day tour. We're going to do the night tour coming up with my 10-year-old son. It's going to be awesome and freaky.
Yes, that would be awesome and freaky. And it's something I'd like to do if I ever get back out there. But it's just something I never was able to do. The other thing you talk about, having get tickets, it was funny. I went to a Tampa Bay Rays game when the Sabres were in Tampa in April, and I'm looking for the box office. I'm walking around the place, I can't find it. Finally, somebody says, there is no box office. You got to put the MLB app on your phone.
That's right.
And that's the only way to buy tickets now.
That's right. It's crazy.
I go, yeah, but I'm old.
Oh my
Wait
God.
A minute, I want a box office.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I know. We went to the we went to see Justin Timberlake a few, and by the way, it's called the MLB Ballpark app. It's actually even it's different than the actual even MLB app, right?
Yes,
we went
to
see Justin Timberlake, believe it or not, paper tickets. I had paper tickets for Justin Timberlake. Somebody's like, you got to save those and frame them. Like, who has paper tickets? You know, Paul, we all did this when we were kids. Like, they rip it off. You got the red or the orange or the blue at the old odd, and you're saving your ticket stubs. I miss those days, man. I get it, but I miss it.
I still have a bunch of ticket stubs. Honestly, now if it's a show I like, I take a screenshot off my phone and email it to myself, and I print it. So I have the actual ticket that I can put in my collection. If it's a show like when I go to see McCartney, you know, mm-hmm. I wanted that ticket and it's on my phone. So that's how I was able to reproduce it and put it in my collection.
Hey, real quick, you speaking of the Rays, did you see that the Tampa Bay Rays, because of the damage done to their stadium in the last hurricane, they're going to play next year, their entire season, at the Yankees spring training facility?
Yeah, I saw that. That's only
Steinbrenner Field.
What, 15,000 people you can get in there? It's not like they get a lot of big.
Right.
I mean, that, the game I went to wasn't really well attended, so I really don't know what their normal attendance is. But it's kind of like when the Blue Jays played a couple of years here in Buffalo. The most they would have been able to put in the building was, what, 19, 20,000 people? But it worked out just fine. Well, the first year, people couldn't come, you know, because it was COVID. And the second year, people could come. It was kind of neat. I never thought I was going to see the New York Yankees play the Toronto Blue Jays in Buffalo for a regular season game in my lifetime, or the Boston Red Sox, or even the Marlins. I saw them, so it was kind of neat to be able to see Major League Baseball in Buffalo for a couple.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Paul, have a great weekend. We'll be following, of course, at PHAM1717 at WGR550.com as well. Thanks for coming on today. And we didn't have to preempt you for the Bills head coach. He hasn't called yet. He will in a moment.
And have fun and don't get locked in any of those jail cells.
I know, right? That's that would be a pretty big fear. I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
Take care.
All right. That is Paul Hamilton. And, of course, on the Wester Hotline, as always, Paul's reports. Brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda, Relax, we got this. All right, so just waiting on Sean McDermott to call here very shortly. We think that's going to happen before the next break, which is coming up a little before 11:30. Then we'll get to Patrick Hammer on the other side. I'll ask him about weather this Sunday. I think we're looking pretty good. And tailgating-wise, going to be a lot of tailgating going on because this is a 4:25 p.m. game. You have the whole CBS crew coming to Buffalo, the studio show. So it's going to be a nice long Sunday for you, all right? And then, while you're tailgating, you got a big AFC game going on. It's going to be Ravens at Steelers. And then after the game, another big AFC game going on. Bengals at Chargers. That's your Sunday night football game. I have a Twitter poll. I posted it at ExtraPointWGR, but I reposted it at Sal Sports if you want to go there and check it out. We have exactly 1,200 votes right now. Vote in the poll. What are the best-case results for the Bills in these two games? You could choose Ravens and Bengals winning, Ravens and Chargers, Steelers and Bengals, or Steelers and Chargers. It is overwhelming right now. Steelers and Chargers, 64% of you. A little bit of a split between Ravens, Chargers, and Steelers, Bengals, which is interesting. The one that is not what you want, Ravens Bengals, 5.6. I know it's a little bit confusing. Let's walk through this. There are arguments to be made for both these teams. Let's take the first game, Ravens Steelers. People are talking about seeding, right? What do you want to happen with the seeding? And you're talking about who could miss the playoffs. Because with the Ravens,
I totally understand if you think, I don't want the Ravens the 7 seed. If the Bills are the 2, you don't want to play the Ravens. I get it. I'm with you on that. I also want to point out, though, if the Ravens lose this game, they drop to 7-4. And they're right kind of on the cut line of the 7-8 seed. Now, looks like 8 right now, you'd still have some breathing room because 8 is 4-6, which is Indianapolis. But let's say Cincinnati wins, and they go to 5-6. I mean, those two teams still got to play each other. So, could it be possible you knock the Ravens out? Probably not. So, if the Ravens lose, you're probably looking at them as a very dangerous 7 or 6 seed. If the Ravens win, they're on your heels for the 2 seed because they beat you. And if the Bills happen to drop it, the Ravens will be the 2 seed, the Bills will be the 3 seed. You also don't want that because 2 and 3 matters, folks. Now, it's not the end-all be-all. But the difference between the 2 seed and the 3 seed is easy. If those two teams wind up meeting each other in the playoffs, it's who's at home. That's the difference. I can get, if you think, hey, let Pittsburgh keep winning. Let them be the team that's in the 3 seed. That's fine. Then Pittsburgh could come to Buffalo or Buffalo to Pittsburgh, depending on which seed the Bills get. I totally understand that, but you got to get by the first round, and that then would look like either a Baltimore or a Chargers or a Bengals. Chargers and Bengals play on Sunday night. Chargers 6-3, currently in the 6th seed. Bengals 4-6 in the 9th seed. I mean, if the Bengals lose this game, they're getting buried down there. They are really in danger of not making it. You have a team like Miami who could wind up passing them if they win. Even the Jets. The Colts are the team that's kind of interesting here because they're 4-6. They're turning back to Anthony Richardson. Their season still has life. I mean, their season still has life even for the division, actually, to be quite honest with you. They're 2 games out from Indy. Now, from Houston, excuse me. Now, they've already played Houston twice and lost to them, so they have to overtake them. But Houston doesn't look like a great team right now. So Indy has some life here, and they're turning back to Anthony Richardson. Jets fans still think they have some life. Dolphins fans still think they have some life. I think the Dolphins have more than the Jets. Because with a healthy Tua and the way they've looked the last 2 weeks, I was impressed with the way they played in Buffalo. Dolphins came here. I was impressed with how they played the Bills. The Bills ultimately pulled that game out. But then they go to the Rams. They beat them too. So there's a lot that there's a lot that could be decided or at least leaned on this week. Speaking of being leaned on and leaned into, Chiefs fans are totally leaning into this whole referee thing that's going on and all the conspiracy theories that people talk about. And, I mean, so much so where I posted referee stats on this game, and it's not the first time. I did it for the Dolphins game. I don't always do it, but sometimes people are wondering, hey, who's the ref? I'll find out who the ref is early in the week. I'll post the stats. How often do they call penalties as compared to the average? And I'll also give you maybe a record on each team when that particular referee and their crew is calling the game. So I posted that earlier this week. And boy, I had Chiefs fans quote tweeting me, replying me, oh, Bills fans are already crying. Dude, there was no commentary on it. I'm just letting you know. But what I have seen from Chiefs fans and from even media and podcasters and people like that this week is they're basically leaning into the whole conspiracy thing. There are some replies from people saying, hey, make sure that ref got our check. Yeah, we paid him off again. Like, yeah, making fun of how people go that far, right? With the Chiefs and the referees and the officials. There was a podcast done the other day that I watched, a respectable podcast on the Chiefs. The title of it was Bills versus the Refs. That's a Chiefs podcast. Like, that's what they did. So, yeah. All right, we're going to take another timeout. We will get Patrick Hammer on at some point, hopefully, to talk about the weather. But we got to wait for Sean McDermott here. He's wrapping up a CBS, I believe, production meeting. I know that's there's a production meeting going on. So we'll keep it here. We'll get the Bills head coach on. I promise you, we'll get your injury update on a Buffalo Football Friday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Keep it right here. Sal Capaccio with you on a Buffalo Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way.
Coach Sean McDermott's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank.
For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com.
Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you on a Buffalo Football Friday. Let's get out to the Wester Hotline. Bills head coach Sean McDermott joins me for his weekly radio appearance. Good morning, coach. Hope you're doing well on this fantastic Friday.
I am, Sal, and I appreciate you having me on. I want to quickly, if I could, wish my dad a happy birthday.
Happy birthday. All right. Absolutely. That's awesome. Appreciate that for sure. And I know you've talked about your dad and you know how much of an influence he was on you in football and in life. So that's very cool. And how much, I know he's a football coach, how much does he give you some advice on what's happening on Sundays or throughout the week?
He's always there for me, both my mom, dad, and brother, in fact. And they're very supportive, but he'll give me a reminder here and there. Of course, like any mom or dad would, right? And just supporting. Parents are always parents, and I very much appreciate their support.
Well, happy birthday to Mr. McDermott. Okay, Sean, we know that Keon Coleman will not play in this game. As we get to our Barnes Firm injury report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Anybody else we know will not play in this game on Sunday for the Buffalo Bills.
Right, so Dalton Kincaid will be out for this game, and then Matt Milano, as we already discussed earlier in the week, will not play. Spencer and Amari will be questionable for the game and limited today at practice.
Anything concerning long-term with Dalton Kincaid at this point?
I mean, long-term is kind of a loose kind of
right
term, but we think we'll just take it one week at a time and just see. I mean, Nate's going to continue to update me as we go through the week here.
Okay, and then Spencer, how do you think he's progressed throughout the week? He hasn't practiced, so for you to leave the window open obviously is a little bit encouraging.
Right, so we'll know a little bit more today. We're just going to take it one day at a time and see how he does today and then go from there.
All right, Coach, Matt Milano back on the practice field. Obviously a great sight for Bills fans to see him running around out there. I'm sure it was for you and your staff and just for Matt. You talked about his journey, how resilient he's been. How do you think he came through the walkthrough and then the practice yesterday?
Well, he did well. I'm sure he felt, great to be back out there with his teammates and, getting a sweat in and all those types of things. He's, like I said, it's been a long journey for him and just fun to watch him out there, be back out there and enjoying himself playing the game he loves.
Sean, you had another Player of the Week honor this year, this week. It was a fifth Player of the Week award for somebody on the Buffalo Bills, Taron Johnson, Defensive Player of the Week. Now, I've said, this is the way I say it, I think Taron Johnson's as good as what he does in the NFL as anybody is at what they do in the NFL. Can you just kind of speak to how dialed in this guy is at his job and his technique and what he brings to your football team?
I mean, how could you argue that, right? I mean, otherwise, in terms of he's so valuable to our team. To watch his growth over the years, people try and game plan for him. That's kind of the way it's been evolving, and that to me is a sign of respect.
No doubt. And then you have another Johnson, obviously, Austin Johnson, who had another interception last week. He's got two on the season. A guy like that, being in position to make those plays, it can't just be luck, right? It can't just be happenstance. I mean, there's got to be more that goes into a guy like that being in position on the D-line to make those plays.
Well, he takes his preparation seriously, and his ability to sniff out some of those throws, sniff out some of those screens, he's got a great feel for that, and to catch those.
Yeah.
Most of the time, a defensive lineman is playing defensive line for a reason. One reason is usually doesn't have great hands, right? But Austin did a great job and made two big plays for us.
And isn't that also speak to when that happens? You can point to that's why you do a takeaway circuit every week, right? Where literally yesterday I was showing video. He actually caught Austin. This is had a one-handed grab as they were just throwing balls to the defensive lineman. That's great to show people this is why we do those things, isn't it?
Well, it is. You love as a coach. I know there's a lot of coaches out there. You love it as when a coach, when what you practice, you see in the game and it pays off. So I think it just helps the buy-in from the players and everything. So understanding why we practice the way we do and what we practice. So, yeah, the fundamentals, I mean, you see it every week, right? Fundamentals are winning are winning and deciding games.
All right, Sean, the Kansas City Chiefs this week, obviously a team you're very familiar with. No, they're not in the division, but you almost have to approach it like a division game sometimes because you guys have met up so much. I mean, is there any secrets anymore between these two sides, I guess? Or, I mean, how familiar are you with this team? This is not like a team you see once every 8 years.
Yeah, I mean, we've, you know, like you said, I think it's been, what, seven or so games since that 2017 meeting. So it's a lot in a small window of time since 2020, I believe it's been. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of respect for them, and certainly they've won quite a few championships. And, you know, we're looking forward to the opportunity this weekend. It should be a good game and a good matchup.
A big key this weekend will be third downs, obviously both ways, but especially this is a team, Kansas City, I mean, they're over 50% on third downs 10 weeks into the year, which is pretty amazing. How important will it be to get them off the field on third down this week?
It's huge. It'll be huge because of, you know, they're number one, as you mentioned, in some of those categories. They're number one in time of possession in the NFL, and that's a critical piece in order to win a game, is to make sure we can win as many of those third downs as possible. They're extremely just high level in that window in particular, but also in everything else they do.
And then your team is number one in takeaways this year, Sean. I mean, what goes into that? What goes into being ball hawks, being aggressive, the peanut punch? You see everybody doing that now, but you guys have really taken advantage of, you know, getting to the football and rallying to the football and getting those takeaways this year.
Well, like you mentioned, we emphasize that usually if you're emphasizing something, you got a chance to get it, or the best chance to get it. If you're not emphasizing it, don't expect to get it. So, in this case, we emphasize that the coaches, led by Coach Babich and the defensive staff, do a great job. The players buy into it, and it's just kind of become something that you know, we take a lot of pride in.
And then, of course, Bills Mafia out in full force on Sunday. It is a national game. You know that. You've been doing production meetings. CBS is bringing their entire crew here. You're no stranger to big games. You guys have been in it, but how important and valuable can Bills Mafia be in this particular matchup at home on Sunday, a week before the team has off?
Well, they're huge, and anywhere and everywhere we play. What a great deal for the city of Buffalo and Bills fans. You know, that CBS bringing their show here to be in the parking lot. I just think it's an awesome opportunity to showcase all of Buffalo and what we're all about here.
Coach, thanks a lot for joining us. Happy birthday to your dad. I've met him and talked to him a few times, as you know, over the years. He's fantastic, and we wish him a great weekend, and best of luck to you and your team this weekend as well.
All right, very much appreciated, Sal. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott. We know now that Dalton Kincaid will not play. We know that Keon Coleman will not play. We know Matt Milano won't play. He's coming back. He will be. That's more of on the encouraging side, but the Bills will be without their tight end and one of their starting outside receivers, if you want to call Keon Coleman that, I do. And the Kansas City Chiefs will be without their kicker, Harrison Butker. He's going to go on IR. Do you want to take a break and then have Pat on? You want to do it that way? All right, we'll take a break. Then we'll get to Patrick Hammer. We'll let you digest everything here. We'll come back. We'll get with Pat Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. That way we have a little more time to spend with him before we get to the final break of the show here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Break it down!
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire, here's Patrick.
Have a time.
WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist Patrick Hammer joins me on the West Her Hotline right now. Pat, thanks a lot for holding through Bills head coach Sean McDermott. We had to change things up a little bit this morning.
And happy birthday to Mr. McDermott Sr. That's kind of cool to hear. I apparently, he talks to his dad before every game.
Oh, yeah.
John Scott did a story on McDermott, and he talked about that. That's kind of cool.
It's Rich McDermott's his name, and you'll see him at training camp sometimes. You'll see him at games sometimes. I see him down on the sidelines. Fantastic person, former football coach. I'm sure that he's got a few things he wants to, you know, go over with. I don't know if they watch film together, but as Sean said, of course, they had a lot of support right there. Yeah, so happy birthday to him. Thank you for waiting here, and obviously we have a big game on tap Sunday at 4:25 p.m. You know what that means? Lots of early and a long tailgate. And then the game at 4:25 p.m. when the sun starts to go down a little bit, what does all that mean for our weather Sunday?
So Sunday is looking, it's not going to be picture perfect in terms of clear skies, but I think the weather could not be more ideal for a, let's call it a mid-November game. We're going to see clouds increasing on Sunday. So if you see the clouds thickening up and it begins to look like it does outside right now, don't worry, it's not going to rain. We're going to see rain roll in late Sunday night, but well after the game. Temperatures very comfortable in the 50s, I would say, most of the day, kicking off at about 52, and then we're in the upper 40s through the end of the game. And wind, not an issue. Initially, it looked like there could be a breeze. There might be a little bit of a breeze, 10 to 15 miles an hour at most, but generally a really nice afternoon and evening for football. And let's just say this. Luckily, this game isn't occurring 10 years ago to the date, because November 17th, 10 years ago, was the start of Snowvember, where the stadium – what did they get? 6 feet of snow?
Yeah.
Not going to be the case this year.
That was the original game that was moved. That was into Detroit against the Jets. Right. That was Rex Ryan's Jets against Doug Marrone's Bills. I remember that. It was my first year on the Bills sidelines, actually, on the Bills radio network and the broadcast. Thanks for reminding us of that. But it also brings into, you know, just a question about this year and how well it's gone. And I want to knock on wood or something, because holy cow, we've really had really good weather for Bills home games this year.
I mean, thinking about the last 2 years, how impactful. And if you recall, it was the game 2 years ago after the Vikings game, which was that debacle at home, which is what the next weekend was the huge November storm we got 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, we had the Christmas blizzard. I mean, just the last 2 years, last year more with the playoffs, have had impactful weather affecting the Bills. And that has not been the case so far this season. Of course, we do have more home games deeper into the season to think about. But so far, so good.
All right. Well, so the Bills have a couple of dome games in December. They go to L.A. They go to Detroit. But before that, Thanksgiving weekend, they play at home on a Sunday night. I get that it's, you know, 14 days. It's 2 weeks out. I get it. What are the trends and patterns right now showing, though, about early December maybe?
Yeah. So right now the trends are, It's been a very quiet and mild fall. Next week, after what's going to be a relatively quiet weekend, the first signs of kind of a weather pattern change. It looks like it's going to get rainy on Thursday. The week of Thanksgiving, though, is really up in the air. The trend is for colder, which is not shocking, but I do believe that snow chances possibly will ramp up the week of Thanksgiving. It's not a lock. There's a lot of variability in some of the stuff we look at. But as we get closer to that 49ers game, something we got to pay attention to that Sunday Monday. Is it Sunday night or Monday night?
It's a Sunday night game. It's a Sunday night game, December 1st. Yeah. It's a late Thanksgiving this year, by the way. It's like as late as you can go.
Yeah, very late Thanksgiving.
What about next week? The Bills are off. You could tell me, I'm going on vacation, my family is, for next week, but what about here in Buffalo next week, Western New York, as the Bills are off, people getting some things done and don't have the pressure of, having to be around for a Bills game and hopefully a win and feeling good about it after this week?
My wife even has it in her calendar. I get my Sunday back. So, that's going to be the case for the bye week. As I said, it's going to rain on Thursday, and then be behind that system for next week. It may get cooler, and we may possibly see a few flakes of snow. By the way, if we don't get snow by next Friday, that will be the latest in the season we've ever gone to receive our first flake of snow in Buffalo. That's the 22nd of November. If we don't get snow that day, that'll be the latest start. So the trend is more wet than white next week, but possibly next weekend and into the week leading into Thanksgiving, it may get a little more wintry around here.
All right, I am headed out west next week. It's the Bills bye week, and it just so happened, look at the schedule. Oh, the Sabres are in San Jose. I would like to get away. Now, granted, I know that the temperature in San Fran, you can let me know about this, in that area of the country, isn't the warmest necessarily, but nice place to go. Let's go to the Sharks game. We're going to go to Alcatraz on Friday night. Going to hit Napa on Sunday while the other NFL games are going on. What's it going to be like for me and the fam?
Okay, so I did take a look. Right now, it looks dry to start the weekend. There may be some rain rolling in on Sunday. That's something we're watching. Just a couple of little tidbits for you. Go to Napa, fine. Check out Sonoma. Sonoma Valley is just as good, but less crowded and more quaint, in my opinion. You're going to Alcatraz. You're going at night. I grew up looking at Alcatraz from my bedroom every single night.
Wow.
Growing up as a kid.
That's terrifying. That's how you stay straight as a kid.
Do you know how I fell asleep? It was the lighthouse on Alcatraz would go into my room, and it would reflect off my wall.
That's amazing.
There, and every 30 seconds, I would see a little flash of light on my wall, and that was the lighthouse on Alcatraz.
Wow.
Going there during the day is spooky enough, right? But you're going at night, which,
yeah.
I mean, you get out of that experience. So that's off to you.
Should be pretty good, though. So I know that's an area of the country, that area specifically, San Fran, San Jose, they kind of have the same kind of temperature year-round. Not the exact same, but it doesn't get too hot, doesn't get too cold, right?
No, I mean, I San Francisco, I think its coldest time of the year is actually like July, believe it or not. The summer gets very cold there because of the fog.
Mm-hmm.
San Jose and San Francisco are pretty different, though. San Jose can get a lot warmer in the summer and actually a little colder in the winter. But yeah, there's no, it doesn't have the variability like we have here, just because it's on the Pacific Ocean, and the Pacific Ocean is kind of a stable temperature, and that just kind of keeps everything kind of even keel. So rarely do you get really big swings in temperature there.
All right. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. We only have about a minute and a half, so I wanted to ask you before you do go.
Yeah.
Are you going to watch the fight tonight, and are you rooting for either Jake Paul or Mike Tyson?
I don't know. I'm kind of rooting for Tyson. I don't know. I like his story. This Jake Paul, I don't know a lot about this, but just some of the clips that I'm seeing and some of the things on social media, I don't know. He's just kind of got a little bit of an arrogance that, I don't know.
I am totally rooting for Mike Tyson. I mean, come on, this is a childhood guy we all watched, and you're like, this is the one for the old guys, right? Come on, let's go. I mean, I'm 51. I'm playing flag football, and I'm like, let's go, Mike Tyson. Go knock this dude out.
When I saw Mike Tyson in the movie The Hangover, I mean, I yes! jumped out of the chair and was so rooting for him because it was a part of my growing up childhood, and he was funny. He had great comedic timing, and it was, I don't know, I just kind of re-fell in love with him. So, I am rooting for Tyson tonight.
That's going to be on Netflix, by the way, so it's free. If you have Netflix, you can watch it for free, but Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson, and I'm totally rooting for Mike Tyson. I want to see that happen. Hey, Pat, have a great weekend, and then into next week. I don't think we'll be talking next week. I'll be gone, so we won't. But unless these guys want to have you on, unless Josh and Zach want to have you on, they're more than welcome.
There will be a void in my life if I don't speak to you. I may call you in San Francisco anyway.
You can do that, because I know you're familiar with the area. I might give you a call, pal. Have a great weekend, buddy.
All right, take care.
All right, that is Pat Hammer, and we're looking at good weather for the Bills and the Chiefs on Sunday. Yeah, I'm rooting for Tyson tonight. You rooting? Are you? You're younger than me. Are you a Jake Paul guy because you want the young guy here?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I hate Jake Paul. I hate all those like YouTube stars. It was the start of the end of YouTube when him and his brother have been doing all the stuff they do on YouTube.
Don't tell me it's the end of YouTube. I'm building my YouTube.
It's not the end of YouTube, but
for you, it was just what it kind of ruined it a little bit, right?
I don't know. It was just like a trend at the time. So
hey, thanks a lot for joining us today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. Once again, as always, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Stubbs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. We'll talk to you again next week, a little bit here or there. Then I'll be going. And then, of course, Sunday, Bills Chiefs pregame at 9 a.m. Up next, Sabres Live.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW,
the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit bmwusa.com for details.